Good afternoon, brother. Thank you, Chanel, for the reading of the scripture. Brethren, we all need a vision. A vision makes us realize we have not reached the end of our journey yet. We are on a journey, but we are not at the end. Paul's vision changed his life forever. He came face to face with the glorious Lord, and he was changed. Even his name changed from Saul to Paul. Acts 26, 22 to 23 tells us what he saw. Christ was brighter than the sun at full strength. And that is what we should see of our Savior, so that when you are in trouble, or when you wake up, you know who is your Lord. He is brighter than the sun in full strength. And he is everywhere. And as I said earlier, we each need to have a vision. Vision is defined in scripture as a dream from God. Vision is the act of seeing with the mind's eye. And in physical terms, we have a television where you can see the pictures and events. As compared to the radio, you hear only the noise or the sound or the message. Vision, you see with your mind's eye. That's your spirit. Paul saw the awesome and all-important Jesus Christ. And he was truly changed forever. God's word shows that we need to have a vision as Christians. For without a vision, the people perish. To be too much concerned about whatever terrible things someone says about you is not relevant. People can predict anything about you, your future, and it may not turn out to be right at all. Your future is in the hands of God. We don't have to worry about what our neighbor or the person at work with you or the newspapers or your auntie or uncle said about you, your future. Some in society would like to believe that they know what will come in the future, what the future will be. You just need to know what God says about your future. God says we need to have a vision, so we must ask Him about it. If you want a vision, you ask God, not your neighbor, who can say anything about your future which might not come true at all. Ask God about it. When we know Him, He guides us into the future that He has for us. Our future depends on God, not on anyone, not on any government, but on God Himself. So if you want a vision, ask God. And the Bible is replete with visions. And we will go through a lot of them. Not all of them, or it will take a week. But we will go through and see how God revealed Himself to His servants. The all-important thing is to know the Lord and to trust Him. Getting a vision from God for our future does not mean that He is going to reveal in details all that is ahead of us. God doesn't reveal to us in details what will be. Otherwise, we will know what death is and know that, oh, tomorrow I will go out and the car will hit me and they would take me to a hospital where I would be pronounced dead, and then I'd go this way or that way. No. And you could see that Christ didn't mention too much about death. No details. So that's what God wants to know. He wants you to know Him, and then He will guide you. The details belong to God. He only promises to reveal Himself to us when we seek Him. That is because He does not want us to know the future in details. He wants us to know Him. He made us to have a relationship with Him forever and ever. And all that is going to happen is in His hands. Yours is to trust Him. A vision is a mode of revelation. And the Bible is replete of God revealing Himself for our benefit, so that we will know Him. Genesis 15 and verses 1 to 17. Let's see an example. Genesis 15. And as I said, we'll be running through the Bible to see the visions that God revealed to people. So Genesis 15 and verses 1 to 17. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited him as righteousness. He also said to him, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged them in halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. As the sun was going down, Abraham fell in deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came upon him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun has set and darkness has fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed through the pieces. We see a vision that Abraham, who became Abraham, had. The Lord revealed to him what was going to happen, how he was going to give the land to his ancestors, those who come after him. And now the people of Abraham are going to become slaves to the Egyptians. All this were revealed to Abraham, and he believed. We need to have a vision. If you are on a journey and you haven't reached your destination, you can still focus on where you are going. And in order to know where your future is, you need to know the Lord who holds the key. And he has made you to know him, to trust him and have a relationship with him. And all these visions that is written in the Bible is for our benefit. For instance, the book of Revelation is replete with visions that John saw. The future of all of us who are Christians with our God. That's why we need to read our Bible constantly. You just need to know God. He says he holds your future. God says you need to have a vision. So we must ask him for it. When we know him, he guides us into the future that he has for us. The all important thing is to know the Lord and to trust him. Getting a vision from God for our future does not mean that he's going to reveal everything in details to us. No. Everything points to God, and we should get to know him through prayer, through meditation, through the study of the Word of God, and also as we are here, learning at his feet. He only promises to reveal himself to us. When we seek him, we will find that it's because he is the all-important one, and our future is in his hands. Brethren, vision is a mode of revelation, and the Bible is full of revelations, God revealing himself to our benefit. Abraham saw the vision, and he met his God, and he trusted him. And God bestowed upon him all this believer's righteousness. And we believe in God, our future is safe. Genesis 28:12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I'm with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Vision that Jacob had. Jacob, who became Israel. God said, I will be with you. I will never leave you until I have fulfilled the promise I have given you. And he believed. We need a vision. We need to know we are on a journey. We haven't reached the end of our journey. And we need God to guide us, to lead us, to receive us. Exodus 3 and verse 21. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards these people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing which you will put on you, your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. I think we know the story. Before they left Egypt, the Hebrews asked the Egyptians for clothing, jewelry, and all that, and they received them. And so they plundered Egypt for their service as slaves. God foretold this long before it happened. He told Abraham about it long before there was Jacob and all that thing, people. But it all happened. So if we trust God, if we rely on God, He will lead us into the future and receive us unto Himself. We may not know the details. We don't know what tomorrow holds. As Vanessa just said, we don't know anything that will happen next, but God does. And our purpose in this life is to know Him. Let's turn to Numbers 12 and verse 6. Speaking about Moses, God said, "When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" If Moses was a true and faithful servant of God, and God Himself revealed that, I speak to him face to face, not in dreams or visions. So you could see Moses holds a very, very special position as a faithful servant of God. And you can be like that too if you really trust God. He will speak to you face to face. He will not hide from you. So you need a vision, and you need to trust God in everything that He says. Jesus is there for us, our Lord and Savior, who is waiting. When you get to know Him, He will reveal to you in visions who He is. When we are in trouble, sometimes we forget that the Lord is all powerful and that with Him nothing is impossible. 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. I have to let go of some of these things. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in a house of the Lord where the ark of God was. When the Lord called Samuel, he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And coming down to verse 10, the Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel was just, you could call a baby, a very young child. But God revealed himself to him because he knew that he would serve him in faithfulness for a long time. Truly, we have been Christians for many years, and it's high time that we trust the Lord and get to know him properly every day. For his word is living, and we need to know him, and he will reveal to us in visions our future. And whatever is bothering us, it's no problem with the Lord. He can solve it. He can give us the peace that we need. Whether you are young or you are old, we are all children of God, and he gives wisdom to all. So our main duty is to know the Lord. 2 Kings 2:11. 2 Kings 2:11. Elijah. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. There are so many ways God reveals to us in visions. Some are in dreams, others when you are wide awake. As I said, God wants us to know him, so he continues to reveal himself to his children in various ways. So if you need a vision, stick to your Bible and you will see a lot of examples. And I'm sure you will have dreams or other revelations that God will reveal to you. He is alive and he is forever the God of glory. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind of fire and horses and chariots. Elisha saw it, and he inherited his power and did a lot of miracles. 1 Kings 22. And verses 17 to 23. Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the multitudes of heaven standing beside around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. He said, you will succeed in enticing him. Said the Lord, go and do it. Go and do it. And it truly led to Ahab's death. He was shot with an arrow and he died. These are all revelations. And it is true, people who got to know the Lord very well and trusted him. So let us continue to trust the Lord in our everyday lives. He's there for us, and we need to know him. We need to know him. And he will reveal himself to us and take us on our journey into eternal life in the glorious kingdom of God. Another example is 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. And verses 15 to 18. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and relented concerning the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough! Withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arona, the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand, extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders clothed in sackcloth fell face down. David said to God, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I, the shepherd, have sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done, Lord, my God? Let your hand fall on me and my family, but not. Do not let this plague remain on your people. David had a census of his soldiers. There was no battle, there was no need. I think it was just a little pride to see how many soldiers he had. That was an offense to the living God. God gives the increase. And with God, one soldier can defeat 1,000 enemies. So why census? And this caused David a big headache. This is another revelation. And he spoke face to face with the living God. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah saw this wonderful vision, and he was amazed. "Holy, holy, holy Lord Almighty." That's what the angels say. And that is what our God is holy, holy, holy. So whenever we appear before God, we must do that with reverence. The angels who have been with him for ages still revere his name. And that is what we ought to do. Revere the Lord God. And he will reveal himself to you that he is holy and almighty indeed. Sometimes we take God's name for granted. No, the angels don't. Whenever they mention his name, it is in praise of him. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Jeremiah 14. And verse 14. Then the Lord said to me, "The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and delusions on their own minds. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, yet they are saying, 'No sword or famine will touch this land.' Those same prophets will perish by the sword and famine, and the people they are prophesying to will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and sword. There will be no one to bury them. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters, I will pour out on them the calamity they deserve." We should all be aware that Satan is truly active with his demons. When you are on trial or test, remember, the devil can deceive you. The devil is very busy to give you doubts, and you put false information into your mind if you allow him. That's why we are told to focus on Jesus. If you belong to Jesus Christ, he will not have power over you. So you don't have to doubt that Jesus is your Lord. When you trust him, he's there to fight your fights for you, all your battles. Do not allow doubts to bring in the devil. Hence, we have to know God properly, thoroughly, and at all times to trust him. When the Apostle Paul said, "Pray without ceasing," that's what he meant. This deceiver is always around, and we must not allow him to get any foothold in our lives. Let's continue with the scripture. Ezekiel 1 and verse 3. Ezekiel 1 and verse 3. Where are you? The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kebar River in the land of Babylon. There the hand of the Lord was on him. I looked and I saw windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud of flashing and lightning, and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and the wings. And their wings, one touched the wings of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Ezekiel saw this awesome vision, and it changed him forever. Ezekiel wrote about the valley of the dry bones that came to life, and he realized the power of God. When he saw the bones, God asked him, "Will they live again?" And he said, "You know," and that is the right answer. It is only God who knows our future. No auntie or uncle or neighbor or workmate or the papers or the telly can tell you what your future holds. Only God. And this is our God who wants us to know him. And then he will lead us to our future that he has prepared for us. Psalm 89:19. Yes. Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, "I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have raised up a young man from among the people. I have found David, my servant. With my sacred oil, I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely, my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, 'You are my Father, my God, my rock, my Savior,' and I will appoint him to be my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth." Brother, let's get to know our God properly. Let's get to trust him properly. Moses was an ordinary shepherd who was not even respected by his own family. When Samuel went there to anoint one to be king, he wasn't even there. He was keeping the sheep, the few that they had. But he got to know his God, and the Lord made him one of the greatest kings that have ruled this earth. And his dynasty is forever. God has promised him, because he trusted the Lord and he got to know his God properly. Through thick or thin, in all his life, you could say he trusted the Lord. Even when he had sinned, he went to God, knelt before him and said, "Against you only have I sinned." Because he knew that all life belongs to God, and that God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. And we are all equal before him. If you seek him, you will find him, and you will not be disappointed. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom, wisdom's instructions. We all need revelation. You don't have to worry too much if you have none. The Bible is there replete with revelations, and you could see each is different. Each servant's revelation is different because our God is a mysterious God indeed, who has so much to reveal. And there is a lot to learn if we trust him. Every one of these servants of God's revelation is a bit different. Moses had different revelations. David had different. So also Daniel, who had a lot, who saw a lot of visions. But we don't want to eat into more time, so we will avoid Daniel and turn to the New Testament and see a few things. For instance, turn to Luke 1 and verse 13. Luke 1. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even before he is born, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to their disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That was before John was born. His father saw a vision, and the angel told him what was going to happen and what sort of baby they are going to have. And it did happen. Jesus baptized. There was a revelation. Let's see the transfiguration. Matthew 17, 1-9. The transfiguration. Matthew 17. Verses 1-9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is another vision that the disciples saw with Jesus. God reveals himself in many ways. We all need to trust him and to know him better every day of our lives. Now we can turn to Acts 1, no, Acts 2, verse 2. Let's look at Acts. Acts 2 and verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, all sorts of people, but they were able to hear each one's language, and they were amazed. Some, however, made fun of them that they were drunk. No. So the Spirit of God, revealing himself to the people, and that caused the miracle for them to speak in various tongues. Everybody there from every part of the world heard their language. That was the power of the living God. So in Stephen, Acts 7 and verse 55. Acts 7 and verse 55. Acts 7. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at his right hand, the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed out at him, drag him out of the city, and began to stone him. Brother, you can see the miracles of God. In a crowded area, only Stephen saw Jesus standing beside God, the Father. Heaven opened, but the crowd didn't see it. That's why we should know God individually. And then when we gather collectively as children, there are a lot of people who go to church only once a week and that's it. No prayer, no Bible study, no meditation. How can you see a vision? We need to draw closer. Stephen was a man full of the Spirit and he saw the Lord besides the Holy Father in heaven. Peter also saw a vision that made him to baptize Cornelius. And Paul's experience that Chanel read is very, very important to us Christians. He met Jesus in an instant, which changed his life. Acts 9. Acts 9. And verses 3 to 6. Acts 9. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do. This was a meeting that changed Saul forever and ever. And he realized the awesomeness of Jesus Christ, because the brilliance of Jesus was greater than the sun. Imagine that. And we cannot even look at the sun from 93 million miles. This is our God, our Lord and Savior. He is awesome. And we need to know him. We need to know him. Then, let us see a few examples in Revelations. Okay, we see a few revelations and end the message. Revelations 21. And verses 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away tears, every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all things, and I'll be with God, and I'll be their God, and they will be my people. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the vile and the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, and idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Well, brethren, time is up. I must send a message, but you can also refer to Revelation 22. And verses 12 to 17. The word of God shows we need a vision. We need to ask God for it. He wants us to know and trust him. It's like driving on a motorway. Always look far ahead, as far as the eye can see, and your eyes will take in and focus on all from where you are driving to into the distance. It is important you look far so that your eye can take in from where you are driving to the far distance. So we must leave all the details of our future in the hands of the living God. Trust him, for he cares. Let us finish with a quote from Joe Edwards. He used to come to us. He said, "God, who has forgiven us our past, is worthy of our trust and of our future." Amen.